Jeannie Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Kevin Combs, Vice President here at McKinney Flavelle. Today is Friday, April 5th, 2024, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast. With me today is our very own birthday boy, Sean Bingham. Hey, Sean, how you doing?
I should have known you were going to throw that in there. I blame Mike. I blame Mike for that, for sending out the early email. But
you got it.
As I told, I think it was Amy in the office, I guess it's better to have them than not have them.
There you go. That's better alternative. And are you feeling a day older?
I feel a lot older. Yeah. More than just a day.
Awesome. Well, anyway, happy birthday, Sean. And you guys all are, Sean is our Director of Risk Management here, and we're going to talk a little bit about the economy today. But before we get started, Sean, we do have something to remind people about, because just less than 2 weeks away is our Spring Market Seminar on Wednesday, April 17th in Oak Brook, Illinois.
Yes, my backyard, as I say.
We're all going to be visiting Sean, so hope to see you there as well. And it's perfectly okay to come and wish him a belated birthday. So
yeah, anyway, you could do that. You might even want to bring a coat. So it's not having the best weather right now. I think it's supposed to get a little bit better, but might plan for 50s and rain.
You know, we've been doing this, I don't know, this is for our fifth or sixth year, I think, of hosting this there, and it's actually a week earlier, but the weather, we've nailed it a couple times. It's been beautiful, mid-70s, and then we've had the other where it's a little cool and rainy, etc. But don't let that be an excuse, people. It's going to be nice weather. Sign up now. Be there. We look forward to seeing you. This year, our theme is movers and shakers, powerful and influential forces that are driving change and innovation in the commodity markets. So I truly
and
be
it
there.
Is an indoor
Sean
event.
Will be there. And it is an indoor event. Good disclaimer. Just in case
just
the weather
in case.
Is not great. But you guys can go and register on our website, McKinney-Flavelle.com. And seats are filling up fast, but I know we still have a few spots just for you. So join us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And well, Sean, we had a few things to talk about today. And we're going to talk some economy related. I saw the headlines this morning. I didn't read all the articles, but it sounds like the economy continues to remain relatively robust relative to some expectations. We had 303,000 jobs created.
That's correct. Yeah, we got the BLS employment report this morning at 7:30 Central, as we do almost every first Friday of the month. Yeah, it's I will say going through the report, this was a much better report than what we got in February. In the sense that even though we had slightly revised down 270,000 jobs in February, we had some big downward revisions in February that hit December and January, where the net number was very, very small. Or in this case, there were some small revisions, but nothing of any magnitude. So 303,000 jobs, that was about 100,000 more than they were looking for. So that puts, that's a big number. It's funny because if you had told me that, 7-8 years ago, I would have said, 100,000, miss, that's ridiculous. But we get 100,000 plus misses now on a regular basis over the last year. And we'll dive in a little bit of that conversation today. But for the last 12 months, we've averaged 244,000 jobs. That's let's call it 50,000 more than historical levels. So economy, at least certainly jobs and consumer spending, which usually follow jobs, obviously, is doing really, really well. The unemployment rate ticked down slightly, 3.9 to 3.8. That was good. We've been holding this unemployment rate, basically where it is. We had a low, I guess it was back in April. We hit 3.4 April of last year. It was kind of the low point, and we ticked up to 3.9. But this is, in the grand scheme of things, when we're talking about sub 4% unemployment, those are really good numbers.
That's a crazy number. So, I mean, that just seems super strong. And
it is super strong.
I know, you know, I live kind of in a bubble out here in California, but, you know, we see tech layoffs. We see, you know, a lot of things happening. You know, I personally know a few people that have been out of work for a while and yet, you know, are super qualified, good employees. Is there just something, you know, a little unique on the types of jobs and being created? Or?
Well, so, you know, a year ago, based on what we were seeing in the economy, based on what we were seeing in treasury yields, the Fed raising rates, there were probably no economists or very few that did not think we were going to go into some kind of recession or very low growth period. And it has not materialized. And a lot of people keep pointing to jobs growth. And they're correct to point there because we have recovered, you know, more than the jobs that we lost through COVID and, you know, kind of back on what would have been trend had COVID not happened. But there's definitely people are trying to figure out why are we continuing to get these large job numbers? You know, folks try to estimate these things. I mean, we just have not even been close. The error rate has been really pretty crazy. And it's way early to tell, but the jobs that we are getting appear to be of the not high paying type jobs. And there's some controversy regarding are we seeing a lot of the migrant workers being, you know, taking some of these jobs, that's what's increasing. And so I actually dug into that because that's becoming more of a topic recently is how, you know, all this migration is going to impact jobs. And I would say, generally speaking, I mean, overall, more people having jobs is a good thing for the economy. It is the driver of economic growth. We want more people working in this country. So I started kind of looking into the data and what I found, they also report what they call foreign born workers, which is a big mix. It's not just the migrants that we've seen coming across the border. It's you know, all foreign born workers, but that number has picked up since pre-COVID. It was about 18% of the payroll numbers. Today, as of this report, 19.7%, and that's a little bit of an indication of where some of these jobs are coming. The other indication is if that is actually occurring, we're going to see average hourly earnings start to decline. And sure enough, in this report, we saw average hourly earnings on a year-over-year basis fall from 4.3 to 4.1. Month over month, it was up 0.3, and that was a little bit better than the revised 0.2 in February. But these are things that we're going to kind of want to keep an eye on, is are we seeing more of these jobs coming, you know, the quality of the jobs that we're adding, because that's going to make a big difference as far as how it's going to impact the economy. And average hourly earnings, obviously, is the other number that's going to clue us in into those types of jobs as well. So again, we definitely want to see more people working, more people on payroll. That is the engine of growth. But we also have to be careful because if, you know, there's a fine line between these new jobs and the government spending required to take care of the migrants coming in, because that, you know, there's two sources of that money. That's either, you know, you raise taxes or you print more money.
Right.
So what we want is we want good paying jobs. We want lots of them. And obviously not, you know, as little government outside required spending as possible. So for now, it looks good. It bodes well for more robust consumer spending, which has been the other real highlight of the economy. You know, you talk about layoffs. I think a lot of the layoffs that we're seeing are very sector related. manufacturing jobs have really struggled. I mean, we had zero manufacturing jobs growth in March. In February, we lost 10,000 jobs. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's there are pockets that are doing well. Healthcare has been doing very well. Like I said, manufacturing, not so much. So overall, I'm going to chalk this one up to a solid number. Broadly speaking, few revisions, but with some things that we're going to want to keep a close eye on going forward. And as far as how this impacts the Fed, last month I would have said, man, that it was not a good number, and it gave the Fed some leeway as to, you know, rate reductions sometime this year. I would say this number pushes back on that a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. I've been reading a lot about that as well. And it does seem like, you know, the Fed, some of the members have been indicating, you know, there's no certainty on timing or when, you know, still maybe a one or two declines coming up, but not necessarily committing to any time frame at this point. So
yeah, and they will rarely ever commit to a specific timeline. As a matter of fact, when you look at their quote dot plots, when they talk about where they see the appropriate level for the funds rate, it's always on a kind of a year end basis. You know, the market is focused in on the June meeting, mainly because it's just a quarterly meeting. I think if the Fed is going to lower rates this year, and I think they still will, they don't want to get caught up in any potential political conflicts. So they would probably like to get that done before before the election. So I think June is still very likely on the table for a 25 basis point cut. But, you know, if we continue to see 300,000 jobs and we can, and inflation, which has not just stalled, actually started to uptick last month, we start to see that trend reverse and go higher, then I think we could very quickly take rate cuts off the table.
Well, and maybe California will come to the rescue here, because obviously we're over 10% of the population of the country, and we just had that little new law start on April 1st with the minimum wage in fast food going up to $20 an hour, and a lot of companies are allegedly doing some layoffs, cutting back different employees, mm-hmm. although, I think a lot of that will get replaced in other avenues where they're just, figuring out ways to reduce their own expenses and push that burden onto others, like driving services and delivery services for restaurant chains, et cetera. So it's going to be interesting to see if that creates any wave in the numbers next month.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's an interesting deal, because I think when folks that we talk to, I think companies are running real thin right now. I mean, there's not a lot of fat in corporations, and particularly the fast food industry. I mean, they run pretty darn efficient, and I'm not sure they have the space to continue to lay people off. Now you can move people from full-time to part-time and save a little money. And I think we are seeing part-time numbers increase in these payroll reports, but at some point, I mean, you still have to have X number of bodies, cooking the food, serving the food, doing all the other things. And so in the end, Kevin, it's just going to end up, they're just going to have to raise prices to make up for the higher wages. And so, as if your price is out in California.
Yep.
Already.
We are looking forward to that one.
Yep. Yeah. You're going to have to break out you're going to take a layaway plan for a cheeseburger here out in California. So maybe, what is it? In-N-Out Burger? Maybe In-N-Out Burger will start In-N-Out. A layaway plan.
Making me hungry. Lunch is coming up. Don't do that to me, Sean.
Totally. Yeah. Lunch is here for me in about 15 minutes. As soon as we get off this podcast. Anyway.
All right.
That's kind of my take on this month's payroll report. Good, but maybe a couple little cracks in there that we need to keep an eye on.
All right, great. Well, thanks everyone for joining us. That wraps up our weekly Hot Commodity Podcast. And as Mike always says, from London today, by the way.
That's right.
Live with an attitude of gratitude. Until next time, take care, everyone.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favel's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favel.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.